But we have to cover this. We need to cover these things. We need to know what we're saved from. But it also, once we learn about the judgments of God, I'm telling you, it should start a fire in every believer's heart when it comes to someone who's lost.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Friday broadcast. Pastor Bill continues a study today from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. He's titled this next message, In That Day. Let's join the study.
Amen. Let's turn into the book of Romans this morning. If you are visiting with us, we're doing an in-depth study on Sunday mornings in the book of Romans, and it's been quite a study. We're in chapter 2 this morning, beginning a new chapter. Only going to cover, though, probably 10 verses, as this is part 1 of a message. And the title of this morning's sermon is In That Day. Now remember, it's vital for us to remember the theme of Romans, and the theme of Romans is good news, amen? The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, and I'm so thankful that we are saved. We're sons and daughters of the living God, and you know, Paul spent 17 verses in chapter 1 telling us all about the good news before he ever told us what fallen man, what we have been saved from. And so Romans tells us, for example, God has chosen to save man. He tells us that we need a Savior that loves us and died for us and took our place on the cross. But he also tells us that all of mankind is facing a universal day of judgment in the very end. And this morning, we're going to look at seven essentials. Well, actually, not all seven. That'll be next week in part two. But we will cover a few of the essentials for the lost, and meaning are the judgment of God concerning the lost. Now, chapter 1 and 2, there's really not a break in between, though, okay? So man has put that in there. You know, mankind, people in general, they don't really believe that God, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of all comfort, is actually going to judge man. Now, as wonderful as that may seem, that's not true. And to deny a true reality is not going to ever take it away. See, God loves us so much, and he loves the lost so much, he wants everyone to know that a judgment is coming. And he doesn't want anyone to be there. Amen? He wants everyone to be saved because it says, for God so loved not part of the world, part of mankind. He loved all of mankind, amen, that he sent his only begotten son to take our place. So when we study out Romans, we need to remember that all mankind from Adam to today, they stand guilty before God. And the only way to remove our guilt is to be in the Savior, the spotless, sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Romans 3:9, all are under sin. 3:19, all the world is guilty before God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, everyone, all mankind, and fallen short of God's standard. Now, Daniel Webster was asked this question. He was asked, what is the greatest thought that has ever entered your mind? And here's his reply. He instantly said, my responsibility to my Maker. And when we study out God's word this morning, listen carefully. When we look at the judgment of God, and we need to know what we've been saved from. That's why they call the gospel good news. It's important that God loves mankind so much. He doesn't want lost man. He doesn't want us in the dark. He wants to explain to us exactly what's going to happen because God is not only a just God, he's a righteous God, but he's also the judge. Amen? He wants us to know that, particularly in chapter 2, that there are seven principles, seven essentials, if you will, that what's going to happen on that day at the end when man is judged. So this morning we're going to look at it. We're going to begin there in chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to immediately find out that we have two judges here, and one of them is God and the other is man. Watch this now. He says, "Therefore you are inexcusable," or "you're without excuse, O man," meaning all of mankind. That's a generic word in the Greek. "Whoever you are, whoever has ever been born and whoever you are, who judge," literally judge anyone, "for in whatever you judge another, you condemn, you sentence yourself, for you who judge practice the same things." Now listen, the Lord is saying every person is just as guilty as those sins that we talked about last week in chapter 1, even though you have never committed them. You're just as guilty because all are under sin. Amen? And so this word here is very important, the way God starts out about judgment. He starts out with us and saying, it's your attitudes what's going to really, really cost you. You see, whenever God says, tells people not to judge, that word there in our text, judge, is krino in the Greek, which means to try, to condemn. It means to sentence. It literally means to damn, the past judgment. It means you are the jury, the judge, the jury, the executioner, and it is your decision that brings what you consider a once and for all final judgment. Now listen carefully of what God's word says. He says when a person, any person, whenever you judge another person, krino, you pass sentence upon them, it says you not only judge yourself, but you condemn or sentence yourself. So the very first thing that God wants us to know is this. God says, okay, since you did that, since you judged that way, by the same standard that you judged all those people will be the same standard that I used for you in the last day at the judgment. Doesn't that make you want to go out and judge people? Huh? Oh, man. Listen, what did Jesus tell us about judging people? Remember Matthew 7, 1, he uses the same word, krino, in the Greek. He says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged. And in the measure that you judge or measure out," Jesus said, "it will be measured back to you." Well, we don't have time to judge one another. Amen? And God says, no, you don't want to do that at all. It's so easy to point our finger at somebody and say, well, I don't do that, you know, or I've never done that. But, you know, you may have never done that, but you wanted to. I'm going to see it's who's the religious side this morning. First service, they were totally religious, okay? No, you know, I wanted, but I didn't. Yeah, but you fantasized about it, didn't you? Oh, listen, you can get in a lot of trouble. You know, listen, here's the thing. Everyone is guilty of judging. But the thing is that we don't want to do that. If we're going to judge anyone or anything, loved one, let's measure ourselves by the proper standard. And that standard is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is perfect. He's never sinned. Amen. We are to look to him. No wonder, you know, when you start thinking about how God condemns all through the Old and New Testament about gossiping and backbiting and slandering and so forth and speaking evil, which grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit of God. God tells us in the epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 11, a commandment. He says, do not speak evil. Do not speak evil of one another. And then he uses a big word, brethren. And we could say brethren and sistren, okay? In other words, the reason we're not supposed to do those things, we're commanded not to do it, is because we are brothers and sisters, which means we are family. We are members of the body of Christ. And when we speak evil of one another, since we are part of the body of Christ and Jesus is the head, we are really speaking evil of our Lord. Now, how many people want to go judge someone? No, you don't want to get involved in that, and neither do I. Remember last week when we talked about the sins in chapter 1 and where people are given over to a debased mind, a mind that cannot make a proper decision between moral judgments of right and wrong. Well, two of those issues, remember in verse 29 of chapter 1, it said what? Whisperers. Then verse 30, backbiters. What do those words mean? Remember, was talking about gossiping and slandering, speaking evil of one another, and so forth. Well, that is a character trait of someone whose mind is literally debased. Well, I don't gossip, Bill, about anybody. I just share prayer requests, okay? All right. Yeah, that's my only joke, so you better laugh good, because It's going to get worse from here on out, all right? But we have to cover this. We need to cover these things. We need to know what we're saved from. But it also, once we learn about the judgments of God, I'm telling you, it should start a fire in every believer's heart when it comes to someone who's lost. Because that's what we're talking about this morning. Those that are outside of Christ. Listen, mankind, all of mankind, as you know, came from Adam. When we get to chapter 5 in Romans, we're going to cover all that. But all mankind came from Adam, which means all sinned. We're all sinners. We were all born in sin. And you know what? We're not worthy to judge anyone. I'm talking about passing judgment. Now, there are certain things in the Word of God we are to judge. Whenever a prophet speaks and so forth, let the others judge. Amen? But that doesn't mean to sentence, to damn, to try, to hit the gavel and say, you're not worth anything. We're unworthy to look at one another, anyone, and judge that person. Listen, it is a sad thing when here we are made in the image of God. We're made from the clay of this earth, and we open our lips and we look at other people. And we say, especially in this nation today, as the racial tension is so escalating, and we look at one, white is better. No, it's not. Black is better. No, it's not. Brown is better. No, it's not. Are you following me? No, listen, that's wickedness. You know, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us in Acts 17, 26, it talks about God. It says, He has made from one blood all people, all nations. One blood, that one blood meaning Adam, amen? We're all family. We all came from Adam. But we don't have the right to look down and cut one another down at all. See, we're literally one humanity. And you know what? Our judgment is always wrong. We're always messing up. No, listen, the color of a person's skin, we should have no judgment when it comes to that. We're all one family. Thank God for that. Amen. Oh, the Lord is good. The lost man, I tell you, if you're lost, you better see yourselves the way God sees you. Because if you're out judging other people, I'm telling you that the judgment that you render will be judged right back to you in that day. Acts 17, 31, listen to this. It says, because God has appointed a day, that day at the end, it says, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he's ordained. He has given assurance of this to all, and he tells us how now, by the resurrection or raising Jesus from the dead. Listen, knowledge of a future judgment from God is always given from the heart of God, crying out for man to repent. Get right with God. And when we look at this judgment here, God says, listen, in that day, it's going to happen, and the guarantee of it is that I raised my son from the dead, meaning there's going to be a resurrection. Did you know there's not anyone that has ever been born dead right now? No, no, no. They're alive someplace. Amen? Okay, listen. Does that blow you away? See, yes, they died. Oh, the flesh went away, but the spirit, where did it go? You think about that for a moment. Every person that's ever been born is someplace right this minute. And you know there's only two places that can happen at. Now listen, James goes on in the epistle of James, in James 4:12. He says, there is one, not two, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and also to destroy. And then James asks us this question. He says, and who are you to judge another? Boy, that is a great question, since there's only one judge. James also goes on later and says, and behold, the judge standeth at the door, meaning it's time, it's getting close, he is near. We're so unworthy and unqualified to judge. People hear things and immediately they start judging, and here's the problem. You don't know the facts. Don't know the facts at all. You just hearsay judge, or you know what I heard? Oh, listen, you better stop that. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Yes, you better stop that. You know, it's so easy to look on the exterior. God doesn't look on the outside and judge. He looks upon a person's heart. He knows why that person did what he did. He also knows the facts. We don't. And he also knows the facts behind the motives that made that person do or say whatever it was. We don't have that kind of knowledge. We don't have that kind of knowledge at all. So what does God say now? He's getting ready to tell lost person, a person that is not in Christ, still in Adam, a person that is not saved, born again, a new creation, not adopted by God, still lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And listen to what God says. that's going to happen in that day, how you're going to be judged. If you're listening live right now and you're not saved, I encourage you, don't turn me off. Boy, listen to what I'm about to say. Verse 2, but we know that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth. Against those who practice such things, any kind of sin, the sins of verse 1 and all the rest of them. Okay, principle number 2, we know that in that day that God's judgment to lost man, and even for the Christian, is going to be according to truth. The psalmist has written this in Psalm 96:13. It says, for he is coming to judge the earth, is coming. Not maybe he's coming or I hope that he might come. No, no. It's a definite. The judge is coming, and he will judge or shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. You know, we don't have any problem saying the king is coming. But when's the last time you said the judge is coming? See, he really is coming. Jesus is coming, and he will judge. And God has all of the facts. Now, listen to me. You know, God knows the real you. God knows the real me. There's not anything that escapes his attention. He knows every detail. Matter of fact, God knows your thoughts before they ever are formed in the next 5 minutes, next 10 years. You understand? He knows everything. He knows everything about you. And thank God he still loves you and wants to bless you. And has blessed you. But you see, fallen man, those that are lost, those that are dead in trespasses and sins, those that are incapable of renewing their minds to the Word of God, they really believe that somehow, some way, God, if he does exist, he's going to judge me, fallen man, the lost, in some other way, but certainly not the way the Bible says, because the Bible was written by, you know, a bunch of men. No, the Bible was written by God as he used men. Amen? Boy, listen, and God doesn't lie. Look at verse 3 now. And he says, do you think this, O man, meaning all mankind, do you imagine this, he's saying, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? You see, you say, Bill, I don't practice. I'm not an idolater. No, but it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. Do you understand? Now, listen, in that day, listen carefully now. God just said, wants everyone to know, wants lost man to know. In that day, no one, no person that has ever lived, the lost particularly here, will escape my judgment, God says. No one has ever escaped the judgment of God. Man may say, you know, and I hear it all the time. I think, you know, I won't have to do that because, you know, I've made a deal with God. I don't go to church, but, you know, God knows me, knows how I am, and he respects me, I respect him, and I've made a deal with God, and we've got it all worked out. God doesn't make deals. He makes one deal. Here's the deal. This is my son. This is the judgment. If you come to my son, you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that I raised him from the dead, if you really, really believe that Jesus is the Lord of your life, God says, I'll save you. I'll wash away your past. I'll wash away your sin, past, present, and future. I'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And heaven will be your home. That's who we are. Amen. Thank God for that. We're saved. But if we're not saved, no, I'm not talking about, oh, well, I go to church, or I'm a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Methodist or a Calvary Chapel. No. I'm not talking about a denominational name. I'm talking about a living relationship with Jesus Christ, being born from above. A person that's not born from above cannot see, cannot enter the kingdom of God. So God says, no, you're not. No one's going to escape this at all. No one. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:3, it tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The word neglect means not to care. God says, how in the world are you going to make it? Here's the gospel being offered to fallen man, to lost people. How are you going to make it? You're not going to escape. Listen, here's advice. If you don't know Jesus today, you're not here by accident or chance or coincidence. God brought you here, I promise you. And not only that, here's my advice. You better settle out of court while you have time. Amen. Yeah, say, I'm going to settle out of court, man. Well, how do I do that, Bill? How do I escape the judgment? How do I get away from it? Let me tell you. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son, meaning Jesus, has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The orge, the wrath, the righteous anger of God against sin. God hates sin. He doesn't hate people. No, amen, that's right. Jesus told us in John 14:6, he said, listen, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You can't make it to heaven except by me, and that's why I came. I came because I love you. I want you to be in heaven with me always. The Bible tells us when we get to that glorious, wonderful chapter in chapter 8 of Romans, therefore there is now, immediately to those who are in Christ, no judgment, no condemnation. Isn't that a wonderful verse? And I'll be glad when we get there myself. However, this is so important this morning. Now, when a person, if they're not going to come to the Lord, and they've been told about the Lord Jesus, look at verse 4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness? Do you despise the forbearance of God, meaning how God keeps holding back and waiting on a person to come to him? Or do you despise God's long-suffering, how God just keeps waiting patiently year after year after year, sending people across their path, the lost path, knocking on the door of their heart, come to Jesus while there's time? Or he says, not knowing or realizing that the goodness of God, the goodness of God leads man to what? To repent. The goodness of God, not dangling people over hell and shaking them like this and or preaching that hell and fire and brimstone message. And you know what I'm saying? No, listen, it's not that at all. God says, oh no, it's my goodness. I love you. I want you. I sent my son to die for you. Oh, that's the good news, loved one. And I say, oh, that repentance where you say, I don't want to go that way anymore, but I will follow you, Jesus. I want you to be the Lord. Now listen, of my life, in that day, that last judgment to the lost, it's such a sad thing. Loved one, listen, God's judgment will be the result of all those lost people that we will probably see refusing the very goodness of God. Do you know what it means to despise the goodness of God? It means literally the word despise means it's not worth anything. God's love or his grace or his long suffering or his goodness, it's of no value to me. It means to just kind of look down your nose and to think lightly of it. But the purpose of God's goodness and his forbearance and his long suffering, the whole purpose is to lead people to repentance. You know, when I hear people say God hates people or hates the wicked, you know, there's a lot of things that God does hate. He hates those who sow discord. Proverbs chapter 6, you can go find all that out. God doesn't hate people. Bill, God hates the wicked. He hates the murderer. Does he? God hates sin. You know something? You know, listen to this. Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, say to the people, say to everyone, say to them, he says right here, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. And listen to the cry of God. Oh, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die? That's the heart of God for his creation. He looks out over it. He hates what happened, yes, in the garden. He hates what the devil did, yes, and the devil's going to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't God's intention at all. My goodness, he only gave Adam and Eve one stinking command and they blew it. Stay away from that one tree, okay? Eat, take your time, enjoy. Yeah, be fruitful, multiply, do whatever you want. But don't eat of that tree. For in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall surely what? Die. God didn't want that, but God doesn't have robots. He gives us a free choice in life. Did you know that?
Once again, we're out of time, but we'll be back on Monday with the conclusion to today's message, and we trust you'll join us once again. Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that your weekend is blessed. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast,
please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.